You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, we left our homes up in Bristol Bay for the waters of Miami shore. With a hippo at the helm and our severance pay, we fly the pirate flag once more. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Well, the ship is a wreck, shit stains the deck as Michael Hollow's fellas make more. And Billy is a worry that he's got the scurvy, cause Chris ate all the limes in store. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum, he's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less, and Greg sounding worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Someone yelled ahoy, who the hell's cabin boy? Somebody named Tony, who knows? Once we got the skip, well, a mean jump ship, cause he knew we would sail to gold. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Greg Cody laughed only one time throughout that. It's when, of course, he was mentioned. Welcome to a narcissistic Greg Cody Tuesday. He is here. I have Dolphin stuff to talk to him about because Deshaun Watson, that was a report from Adam Schefter saying Deshaun Watson is done with the Texans, and the Texans seem to understand that he is done there. So Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in football, is available. He ends up taking in a Nets game because he wants to be close to where it is that power is. Those guys, all three of those guys on that team made a mess to get out, and Deshaun Watson goes there as his first stop because he's under contract. Football players don't have that kind of power, but he evidently has that kind of power.
I was going to ask, what's that mean? But I guess you just told us what it means.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Yeah. I don't know whether it means anything, but all three of those guys did the player empowerment thing. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, and now the word is, because if he's not trolling, and that's the other thing those guys on that team do is troll, if he's not trolling, he just made the New York Jets fan base crazy because they badly want him. And so my question to Cody and the group is this: what is more attractive to the Texans, Sam Darnold in picks or Tua in picks? What should the Texans want there? Because I am not clear in any way whatsoever that Sam Darnold can be and is good at this.
Well, I think with the Jets, I have no idea if Sam Darnold's any good, and I've watched every game Sam Darnold has
played. Does he have a moment? Does Sam Darnold, when he's been healthy, does he have... He had a game-winning drive against the Raiders here to get them to 1-14.
No, there have been no moments. Mono was the moment. I am telling you, though, that I think the Jets package is probably more attractive because it's Darnold and the second pick in the draft. Whereas the Dolphins would offer, I think, their own first-round pick and Tua. right? So I think the Jets maybe a little bit
more
attractive.
They both have the picks. Mike Ryan pointed out here that Darnold's first game against the Lions, people were wondering whether he was the quarterback. Cody, what are your thoughts here? What do you got for us here? Because Deshaun Watson's available. You should be going to get him.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's obviously a gamble either way if you're the Jets, but if you're Houston, I would pick Tua because with Sam Darnold, I think by now you have a pretty formed idea of who he is and what he's going to be. With Tua, at least there's the unknown upside that you're still hopeful about. Plus, you know, the other thing is the Dolphins could throw in the 18th pick. There have been rumors they could even throw in Xavier Howard. I mean, if they want to really go for Deshaun Watson, they have the ability to offer a lot beside just the number 3 and 2.
You can make two moves right now, Dan, if you're the Dolphins. You can get, because you have no idea. You might think Tua's going to be good, but you already know Deshaun Watson is great. You could trade Tua and one of their first-round picks and maybe something else if you have to, and then you get your quarterback at Deshaun Watson. You still have that third pick. You use it on Devonta Smith. I mean, you've solved so many problems. Devontae Parker becomes your second wide receiver.
You've got a situation here with Watson where he has a no-trade clause, so he can determine where it is that he goes. No state income tax is also something that would be appealing. Cody, what is too big an offer for the Dolphins to make? When you talk about maybe the best corner in the league, certainly one of the best corners in the league, when you talk about some of these prize possessions that they have from the Texans with their first-round picks, I just can't believe, and I need this to be stated very clearly, this guy's never available at this age. Like, never. Never can you get a guy who's a top-five quarterback who, you know, if he's healthy, he's going to be around for 10 years. That guy's never available. So you got to make a seismic offer because someone else is going to make a seismic offer.
Forget top-five. Just franchise quarterbacks at that age rarely become available. I think the closest comparison is Jay Cutler, and Deshaun Watson is so much better than Jay Cutler was at Denver.
I mean, he's 25.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, Patrick Mahomes is on another level, but not a level that much above Deshaun Watson. If it weren't for Mahomes, you would be thinking Deshaun Watson is it. He is the young franchise quarterback that everybody wants. And I don't know that there is too much to offer. I really don't. I would err on the side of offering too much. You want Xavier Howard? Man, we hate to give him up. Here, how about taking Byron Jones?
Well, what you're doing, Greg, is you're turning over what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong necessarily, but what you're saying, the part I think you're wrong about, there is a gulf between Mahomes and everyone else. There is a gulf between Mahomes and Watson. The only one there's not a gulf with there is Aaron Rodgers.
I'll remind you, though, that a year ago in the playoffs, Watson was up by like 3 touchdowns first half Kansas City. And people were thinking that then.
He is great. He was made greater by DeAndre Hopkins, but he was great without DeAndre Hopkins. But, Cody, what you just said, what the Miami Herald columnist who once advocated for the trading of Dan Marino so that they could keep Scott Mitchell, what you have just said basically is you are turning your entire roster and all your draft picks over to the Texans and saying, take what you want.
Well, I'm not quite saying that. I mean, obviously you draw some limit at some point. You know, you don't give up both first round picks, both second round picks, a future first round.
What I meant, I didn't mean take 15 pieces. I meant take any 5 things you want. Take any 4 things you want. You're saying no one and nothing is untouchable. That's what you're saying. You're saying
right. That
to get this guy, there is simply no one you have anywhere in the organization that you are not willing to part with, and maybe 2 and maybe 3. Like, how high are you willing to go there in terms of things that hurt to get this pick? Because it's going to take that. It absolutely is going to take something giant. Because, as I said, for DeAndre Hopkins going for whatever it was, a second round pick or a third round, you know, and it just ridiculous trades all over that league. Jay Cutler might be the last one to go for 2 ones. Do I have that right? Is there someone else since then that has gone for 2 number ones? But this is the guy that you give up 2 number ones for.
Greg, if you had to give up Tua and the 3rd pick in this year's draft, because I think Mike believes you would have to give up that top 5 pick, would you be willing to do that? Tua and the 3rd pick in this year's draft.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't hesitate. I mean, Tua and the 3rd overall pick, that's a given. The question is, can you convince them to take Byron Jones instead of Xavier Howard? Can you convince them to take a second round pick instead of the 18th overall? But as a starting point, Tua and the third overall for Deshaun Watson is a steal. That you do in a nanosecond. I wouldn't even hesitate to make that deal. I would think that I had just hit the lottery.
Mike Ryan is laughing in my face right now, and he should be, because I said Jay Cutler is the last one to go for number one, and he's just braying with laughter while for some reason wearing, and I don't know why he's doing this, something that looks like a gas mask that you might smoke marijuana through.
Laramie Tunsil fetched 2 first-round picks, Dan.
That is excellent pantomiming you did back there. Excellent Pictionary sort of explaining to me, because the audio went down in my ear, how it is that we could arrive at Laramie Tunsil. There's only one mask, one person you could have put that thing on for that would have told me that Laramie Tunsil was traded for 2 number 1.
You knew right away.
If you're the Texans, you want a quarterback who's going into his second year as opposed to a quarterback that's going into his fourth year. Like, that's a big – that's worth noting that Tua is 2 years, you know, lesser in this, you know, experience than Sam Darnold is.
I think everyone's sort of underestimating the market that there is for Deshaun Watson. Tua is a nice piece to get back because you still have no idea what his ceiling is, plus the number 3 overall pick. But I think there are maybe 6 teams in the NFL that don't put in a call into the Houston Texans. Like, why settle for Tua when you can get someone like a Baker Mayfield, a more established quarterback, a Carson Wentz, probably not, but a Jalen Hurts. There are better quarterback options out there. Plenty of teams looking to upgrade. Like, Jared Goff might be available because Sean McVay may want to upgrade that, and you may be looking at, do I take the unknown with Tua, or do I take the quarterback, even though we have questions about him, that's made it to a Super Bowl?
It sounds like Chris Cody is ready to bail on Tua, though. He is making a pitch. He is making his case for the Dolphins having a better package.
But to Mike's point, that's not like offensive to Tua. Like, I can want Deshaun Watson and still think Tua can be a nice quarterback.
You can't.
Like, oh, yes.
It's not an either-or thing.
Well, you can be a symbol. As people who have been listening to this show for maybe 18 months, and incidentally, if you've been listening for those 18 months, this show has undergone a whole lot of turbulence. We are still not in the same studio together. We are no longer where we used to be. We are floating as a pirate ship. But if you have been listening over the last 18 months, you have basically seen Chris Cody go through the entire spectrum of what a sports fan who loves sports radio goes through, where he was the most hopeful among us defending Tua at every turn, and now he's got the whiff of a different perfume.
I still like Tua.
Yeah, I know you like Tua, yeah. But you love Deshaun Watson.
What do you want from me? I'm a human.
You are married. You've been married to Tua. You've said your vows. You've enjoyed the honeymoon. The honeymoon was very short. The entire experience didn't have a whole lot of pyrotechnics.
You cheated on him during the honeymoon with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is still your Twitter avatar.
Chris is right. This first year of marriage is the most difficult.
Yes,
tough, man.
And now here you are. But what Mike is saying is so. I don't know why you'd throw Jalen Hurts in there, because I don't think Jalen Hurts is any more appetizing than Tua.
Your options, though. That's all he said.
He had a better game than Tua has ever had. I'm just saying there is a massive net that you have to cast in terms of interest for someone like Deshaun Watson. There are better quarterback options that are going to be made available to Houston than Tua.
The contract is important. Chris Whittingham brought this up in the chat here that, you know, you have Darnold entering year 4, which is it's time to pay Sam Darnold at some point or just let him go. Tua's only year 2. So it's a lot more friendly in terms of cost to the Texans if they went with Tua over Darnold.
Billy, do you have any thoughts here? We've talked all around you this segment. What are your feelings watching your friend Chris Cody just run away from Tua into the arms of Deshaun Watson?
There's nothing wrong with Chris Cody. It's like we're doing a show with a bunch of Armandos today. What's going on here? You can upgrade if you want to upgrade.
Right.
You guys are on the team a year. If you get a better quarterback option, why not take it? I'm married to him for life. He's like 23 years old or something. He's played like 5 minutes on the team. If you could get a franchise quarterback instead of a question mark, that's not you being disloyal. I don't know if you guys know this. Quarterbacks aren't on teams for the rest of their lives. You get rid of them eventually. They're just deciding, hey, there's a better option here. Let me take that over the unknown. I'm on team Chris today.
Isn't this like I'm married to my wife right now, but if Jessica,
this isn't like marriage.
If Jessica Biel becomes available, it's one of those things where my wife is even going to be like, I get it.
Right. No.
No, she would not say that.
No, she would not say that.
Right. I think she would just be like, look, we have a good thing going, but Jessica Biel's out there.
I think she would be like, yeah, go after Jessica Biel, Chris Cody. That's
gonna happen. I'm just saying, if right now Jessica Biel's interested in me, that's what Deshaun Watson flirting with the Dolphins is like for Dolphins fans.
Yeah, Deshaun, Jessica Biel is liking your Instagram photos right now. That's exactly what's happening.
But what am I supposed to do?
She also likes your dad, though, because she's flirting with the Jets.
That's true.
Who should have the Harvey Weinstein's gangrene dick on their helmet.
What?
Always a vivid picture that no one asked for. In responsibility's point, though, quarterbacks do stay with the teams forever. These types of quarterback, they don't become available until they're like Cam Newton type of done or 43 years old. But they typically do stay with those teams for as long as they're worthy of staying there. It's a franchise quarterback. It's the most important thing in the sport.
Yeah, but nothing's forever. I mean, Brett Favre, after an NFC Championship game, they traded him. They did. Joe Montana went to the Chiefs towards the end of his career.
Brett Favre retired. You're talking about someone in their 40s.
Tua's not going to be on this team forever, so why hold on to him now if you could get a franchise quarterback?
The question is, have the Chargers had a meeting about Deshaun Watson? I don't think they have. I think they feel like they've got their guy. They're not going to trade any valuable assets. And that, for me, is the difference. The Dolphins are definitely having this meeting. The Chargers are not. If you left year one with a rookie quarterback, how often have you said, Dan, that the rookie quarterback at value is the key, is the most important thing you could have towards winning a Super Bowl? If you feel like you had that in Tua, you wouldn't be having this meeting.
There are only two guys. Man, you're so right about Herbert. The idea, that was Chris Whittingham, by the way. He'll be floating around. He's a barnacle on the side of this ship, who has been working with Mike on Chelsea podcast stuff. Chris, what did you have there?
But that's how good Deshaun Watson is. I think the Chargers are having that meeting. They're probably deciding not to do it, but I think he's on that level where even the Chargers are having that meeting.
I think any team should be having that meeting. Why wouldn't you have that meeting? If I'm the Bengals, I'd consider trading Joe Burrow to go get this guy. He's 25 years old. He's elite already.
I mean, don't know. To Chris's point, though, and this one is interesting because it's the same draft. And
which Chris's point?
Whittingham's point is the most interesting one because
you never are. I mean,
you've got a situation in Herbert where if that's where we are after year one. If not being able to call it, Billy, I feel like you can call it. One team feels like it's got its franchise quarterback. The other one is less certain of that. After 1 year, Herbert has more value because he is somebody in contract who is valuable, and he is somebody who we've all seen. We can have a legitimate argument here about whether the Chargers would actually trade Herbert. There are about three teams in the league that you can do that with. Seriously, give me all the other. Like, if the Packers would at this point. The Packers would at this point because you get 15 years as opposed to four.
You get the same quarterback at 25.
It's only right. It might be only the Chiefs and the Chargers who don't do it. Is there a third one who
Seahawks,
does?
Seahawks, probably, although Russell, you can start having questions about him.
Do the Bills have this conversation?
Bills probably don't have this conversation. Josh Allen's probably holding it down there.
That's an interesting one, though.
That's a guy after his first year that you definitely would have made that trade for, and then you let him, you know, have a few years. That to the point where Tua...
Welcome back, Chris. Tell him, Chris.
Thank you. Tua could be good in a couple years. See, I'm all over the place with this argument.
Yeah. Are the Ravens having that conversation?
I probably would, yeah.
Absolutely the Ravens are. I mean, Deshaun Watson is Lamar Jackson who can throw. You know, he's not half a quarterback. He's a full quarterback.
Half a quarterback? You don't think the MVP of the league can throw?
I mean, no. This year, his numbers are
not really
bad.
Not what I've seen this year. No, and even last year
he doesn't even think to throw anymore. It's third and long, and he's taking off without even like the thought of throwing now.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson is a full quarterback. I mean, you're getting the whole deal there, and I think there's one team in the league, one team, the one in Kansas City, that looks at Deshaun Watson and says, "Nah, we're good. We're not even going to think about it. Nope, not interested." Every other team, all 31 other teams, have a reason to think Deshaun Watson is better on their roster right now than the guy they've got. I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback right now, but he's also older. When I factor in age, Deshaun Watson is a generational quarterback who you have to go after if you're the Dolphins or a like team.
To your point about Lamar Jackson, because while his passing numbers are down, I would not say a man who cannot throw. That is not how I would describe what is happening there. I would ask you guys, though, this question about Lamar Jackson. That was my phone. I will pay the $5 fine.
It's 10.
Lamar, why is it 10?
I don't know. I just feel like making it 10 today.
I mean, okay, but you're not in charge of the rules.
You're right. Like, I'm not in charge of the rules, but I'm not certain who is in charge of the rules here. And so you made it 5, I made it 10. I mean, you want to come back and, you know, meet me halfway, 750, I'm fine with that.
Lamar Jackson's game is not going to age well. I think we can say that without question, right? Because the athleticism is, he's not going to be a step faster than everyone for 10 years. That's not going to be possible.
The more you run, the more hits you're going to take, the more that whittles away at your all-world athleticism. And even if you lose just a quarter step, all of a sudden guys are making that corner as you attempt to turn it. Look, we saw a game that he just exited with a concussion. So I do think that he has a shorter window, just like Cam Newton. Cam Newton's at an age where a lot of elite quarterbacks are still very good, but he relied so much on his athleticism and he took so much punishment that it eventually whittled away at the athleticism, which overcompensated for maybe the lack of accuracy downfield.
Dan, if you ran the Buffalo Bills, because I find this one to be super interesting, you run the Buffalo Bills. The Texans call you because they want Josh Allen. You're having that conversation. Because Josh Allen's had one good year. Deshaun Watson's had 3 great seasons. You would have that conversation, would you not?
I think so, but I want to address, because Josh Allen is also young.
Josh Allen was better than Deshaun Watson this year.
Josh Allen is good this year.
You're not having the conversation.
You can have the conversation, but Josh Allen's better than Deshaun Watson this year. You're in an AFC championship.
Okay. I also don't know if Josh Allen is better than Deshaun Watson if I give Deshaun Watson Stephon Diggs for the entire season, because
We gave him DeAndre Hopkins and he was up at Kansas City. He didn't exactly get this far. Not that that should really matter in this discussion, but Deshaun Watson was healthy all year without weapons, and we've seen like the top elite quarterbacks before Davante Adams was any good take weapons that were a little sus and go a long way with them. Deshaun Watson actually had an entire healthy year, and the Texans would be picking top 3 if they had their first round draft pick.
I'm just saying, listen, this is how good he is. He had exactly nothing surrounding him. And this year, he had nearly 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 70% completion percentage with nobody around him. Nobody.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is it douche or no douche to say a little sus, because you can't be bothered to, you're very busy and you can't say suspect. You don't have time to say suspect. So you've got to hurry on. You got to get ahead and just make it sus. Mike, do you have any degree of shame about what just happened there?
No, you sound like an old fogey.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Now the kids are talking these days.
Oh, is it?
Call me out for being young. All right, guys.
I wanted to ask you guys all this question. I wanted to ask you this question based on that Ravens game, because you're, again, making quarterback wins a stat, which is interesting because I thought a couple of things happened this weekend to make quarterback win a stat where now you don't have questions about Tom Brady's aging or Josh Allen, but you do have questions about Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson. They had 5 drives go inside the Bills' 30-yard line, and none of them materialized in anything. And I'm not saying Lamar Jackson played well, because he did not, but Josh Allen in that game did just enough to not be Lamar Jackson having these disasters inside their 30-yard line. If I change one throw there and something happens differently, that guy who was being mocked at the combine because during the drills he gets hit in the head, and next thing you know, he's turning the entire season around with a 101-yard touchdown. The win as a stat thing, Stugatz, to me, for that position is, it's dumb, it's simplistic, but as it regards specifically that Tampa Bay-New Orleans game, Tom Brady aged differently than anyone in the history of the sport, But it was crazy that we all saw Drew Brees done before he did. It is crazy that we all saw Drew Brees done before Sean Payton did. That we all got to watch that. A quarterback younger than Brady. I saw Ryan Leaf tweeted recently that he couldn't believe that in college he stood across a sideline from Tom Brady playing in college, and that he was watching Tom Brady in his 20th season throw four touchdown passes in a half, and he had just strained his calf trying to hike. Tom Brady is the one to whom I think we can all now simply assign, quarterback wins are kind of a stat with him, because 19 years in the league as a starter, 14 conference championships. That's crazy.
Crazy.
That's one of the craziest stats that I will hear anywhere across sports, given how fickle that game is, given how many people get hurt, and given that he's there again over a team on the road, over a team that's better than him, older than the quarterback that he just retired. He just retired Drew Brees because confidence is the last thing to go. The mirror is the last thing to know. And we all knew before Drew Brees, and we still don't know about Tom Brady because he's aged differently than everyone else. It's nuts. It's bananas. Never mind. You guys can make fun of me all you want about the fact that two of the four quarterbacks in this sport are the only two you've heard me question throughout my history doing this, because I know how hard that job is. But I also know what precedent is. And in Josh Allen's case, I've never seen a quarterback improve more from year one to year two. Never seen it. Less reckless, more accurate. That kind of improvement that fast is not something that I've seen before. And none of us have ever seen a quarterback age the way that Tom Brady has. We've never seen anything like this. And I don't know where you put it in the pantheon of amazing stats, Stugatz, but 14 conference championships in 19 years as a starter is totally insane.
Well, how about the 9 Super Bowls, too?
Speaking of the Saints, you guys see who threw a touchdown pass?
Yep.
Jameis Winston. The one that you guys said, hey, maybe Sean Payton sees something in Taysom Hill that we don't know. Didn't see the Brees thing. Didn't see the Winston thing.
Told you.
Hot seat. Hot seat for Sean Payton, maybe.
Yep. Playing a dangerous game. I don't know how you take Winston out after he makes that throw. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
There's a lot of home playoff losses as a favorite. The Saints fans can always cling on to, well, the NFL screwed us, but to only have one title out of that 15-year pairing of Sean Payton and Drew Brees, it's actually a bit of a disappointment when you look at it, because they've had teams that have been the favorite oftentimes there, and they made it to one Super Bowl.
How Compiler. Compiler?
Yeah. Brees?
Yeah, plain as day, Compiler. I mean, all those stats, come on. What have you done for me when it counts? Nothing.
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show.
What a Super Bowl.
Guillermo. Is Drew Brees a plain as day compiler?
I kind of disagree with your point that Sean Payton didn't know that this was coming. He brought on Teddy Bridgewater, who was the highest paid backup in the league. He brought in Jameis Winston, who was actually available at a cheap price, but look at how much they paid Taysom Hill. Sean Payton has known this for a while. He just can't force Drew Brees out, considering all that Drew Brees has done for that team and that community.
How hard was that to watch for you, Greg, as someone who specializes in aging? The wheelhouse of aging. What?
He must be so confused by Brady.
We really all are.
We've seen it from Brees throughout the season. You know, he can't throw the deep ball as he used to, and his game was very restricted. He's incredibly immobile. I mean, he's just a target back there now, and it was sad to see. It was very sad to see, especially contrasted against what Brady continues to do. It was sad. I hated to watch it. I felt like Brees deserved some sort of a hurrah in that game, whether it was not necessarily winning the game, but just a fourth quarter comeback, just something to make us go, all right, there's still Drew Brees in there somewhere. But it was just a terrible performance.
Last two seasons, 51 touchdowns, 10 interceptions for Brees. I mean, I don't think Brees thinks he's finished. I really don't.
That didn't make it obvious to you? What we just saw didn't make it seem
clear? Brady with the thing after the game, that assassin type stuff, because, you know, he's throwing Breeze's, you know, he's throwing touchdown passes to Drew's kids, and it appears that he's saying goodbye and saying goodbye forever. And it appears that Brady's doing a nice thing. I think Brady took great delight in doing that. Hey, I'm going to throw his kids a couple of touchdowns, walks away, calls his wife, and goes, I just ended Drew.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed those records. Now I'm going to get three more years putting some distance between me and you. The most amazing thing, because even entering that game, I was like, man, I don't want to see Drew Brees. I even turned it off just because I can't watch Drew Brees
Michael
anymore.
Thomas, that was a strange...
I couldn't watch Drew Brees anymore. It was painful to me. I turned it off when it was tied.
You're the only one in America who did that. That had the highest rate. That was the highest rated.
Swear to God, I turned it off.
It hurts me so much to watch.
I had no interest in watching Drew Brees. I swear to God. Now, I was already on an emotional low because of what happened earlier in the day, but on the life of my firstborn daughter, I turned that game off specifically because I hate watching Drew Brees drop back to throw a 7-yard slant. It hurts me to watch. And I think the most amazing part about the contrast, because Tom Brady didn't look great for large portions of that game, the ones that I saw, then when I turned it off, he turned into like vintage Tom Brady from what I saw from the highlights, is Drew Brees has one healthy rib this year. Drew Brees has zero shoulder. Drew Brees looks like a quarterback in his early 40s that has sustained a bunch of punishment on that body, which obviously whittled away at his all-world skills. This is one of the most accurate quarterbacks we've ever seen, and he's clearly not the same guy. Tom Brady injured one season, and Matt Castle made a boatload of money off of that one season. Tom Brady has been healthy. So I know we all like to laugh at Dr. Guerrero and pliability and all this nonsense.
I don't laugh at it.
To be able to be healthy without this like incredible physique or physical tools that make us say, wow, yeah, I can understand why he's so much better than everybody else. It's amazing that he hasn't taken the punishment to whittle away at that.
It's only nuts that he is still doing this. But what do you do, Cody, with what I'm about to tell you? And speaking of aging, by the way, I shouldn't have to tell you this on air, but here we are. Your points today so far, you just sort of peter out on the dismount. You don't have much of anything at the end. You just sort of yammer and yammer, and then at the end, you peter out. So I think you can summon the brilliance that we're accustomed to getting from Greg Cody by trying to nail these dismounts with a little more energy when you're done talking. Is that okay?
Oh, okay, thank you for that analysis. I appreciate it.
I want to ask you this about Tom Brady, because when you look at the stat sheet involving – this was basically Tom Brady – standing on one sideline and just staring at Drew Brees and watching him age. Like, I know how to not age. You don't know how to not age. You are not knowing how to not age by throwing the ball incomplete every time to Michael Thomas. But watch what I do with Brait and Fournette. I'm going to end you, Brees, with Brait and Fournette. Not Antonio Brown, one catch for 10 yards. Not Mike Evans again, shut down totally by Lattimore.
Little Scotty Miller.
One catch for three yards. Not with Gronk, one catch for 14 yards. No. Little Scotty Miller, one catch. You say a little from Scotty Miller.
Big catch,
it was a
though.
Big catch. Yeah, it was a big catch.
30 yards.
It takes Drew Brees seven passes to get that much yardage.
Am I wrong when I say that was just Tom Brady watching Drew Brees age?
He was sucking the life force from Drew Brees. By the end of the game, Drew Brees looked older and Tom Brees looked younger because he was on the other sideline just going, sucking in the life force.
He stole his last name too, apparently.
Yes, Mike made him Tom Brees. That's okay. It felt like that. It felt like, watch this, Drew. I mean, it's so disrespectful, all of it. I'm going to beat you with Brayton Fournette, and then I'm going to throw passes to your kids in the end zone too.
They're my kids now.
Come over here, Tom Brees' kids.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.